Blog Talk Radio.
Extremeness is here. XOHL, a view from the blue line. Sponsored in part by the Extreme Online Hockey League.com. Special co-host weekly. Call-in show. Come hear the hits, the stats, the rumors, and the hot topics. Come be a blue liner. Let's be extreme. That's right, folks. I'm your host, Lacar22. It is Monday, March the 30th. Welcome to the show. We are a week from being on the air last week. I've got sad news tonight. I will not have one of my co-hosts tonight. You all love him. You all love to hate him. Castor and Pollock will not be here tonight. Apparently, he was in some unfortunate accident, which involved the damage of his own penis. Not quite sure it's the shaft. Not quite sure if it's the testicles. He's having some man down there area issues tonight, so he's not able to join us on the show. But I'm sure Ike will be around. And we might have a special guest co-host tonight. I got a message in my PM saying that they'd like to host the show. So we might have a third wheel, so to speak, to be on the show tonight. Somebody new to the show. And hopefully we'll hear from him soon tonight. So we got lots on the show for you tonight. We're going to review what's going on with the standings. We're going to review the stats. We're going to review who's doing bad, who's doing good. Lots of stuff. As you know, we do the same thing every week. We review all the teams. We review the players. Lots of big changes. You know what? I've decided to change it up this week. Usually we start off right off the bat with the standings, but I wanted to start off right off this week for just talking about trades around the league, just giving you guys a quick update. I wanted to put a kudos out to those out there that are working diligently to put out fantastic articles, by the way, in our media section. If you haven't checked that out yet, that's in our media section under articles. Brace Robin has been working his ass off. Of course, Jersey Devil has been working his ass off. His articles have been fantastic. And of course, Miller, a.k.a. Rap God, has been putting some information out there for us each week. So I want to say kudos to you guys. Good job. Keep up the good work. I know it's a fantastic read. I always enjoy it. People might not comment, but I'm looking at the pages alone. I'm looking and I'm seeing... 164 views. I mean, All-Star Week, people are talking about 205 views. I mean, people are reading this shit. They're loving it. Keep up the good work. Brace is with one of us a long time, so is Jersey Devil. So, congratulations to those guys, and keep it up. We look forward to more articles, and hopefully sometime I can get an interview guys on the show, and a little bit more in depth. So, if you haven't checked them out, they're there. Behind the Mask, very good read, perspective from the league and the goalie's view, as well as Flip of the Puck. There's a couple of additions there as well. Ever so numbers cruncher, Brace Robin breaks the numbers down for us on a week-by-week basis. Inside information, I'm actually getting him to work on currently, and I think he's taken on the project to work on a Hall of Records for us. So we're going to take all the data that we have from the first four seasons and hopefully have a Hall of Records. So look for that in the season to come. So big news there. Also news around the league, we've got the All-Star break coming up. There's been some news there. We were supposed to host it this weekend. Unfortunately, my work schedule changed and I wasn't able to do the work. And I thought, well, maybe we'll do it next weekend, but it's Easter weekend. And so it's been pushed back to the weekend, of course, to the weekend of April 10th and 11th. So we'll see what happens there. Right now, all we got on the slate right now is the All-Star Series. There's talk of a league versus Eichel game. I don't know. That's talk going out there. So that means that we will get people, we'll play six versus one. And I think Eichel's agree to that. Well, let's find out what he's thinking. He's on the air right now. The one, the only, the one that everybody also loves to hate. It's Good Game, Cupcakes, McSprinkles. Welcome to the air, buddy. What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Not, buddy, not much, Cupcakes. Welcome to the show. Looks like it's just me and you, maybe. I know I got a PM from somebody who said they might call in and join us a little later on in the show. Castro said he might be here a little bit later on too, but I want him to make sure he exercised his penile problems. I didn't really want him coming on the show prematurely, so I want to make sure he gets that figured out. So I know you're pretty close with Castor, and you can wish him our best of luck with all his man down there problems. Okay?
Yeah, he might not even be able to play tonight, so we'll see what happens.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Wow. Man problems. Wow. So, yeah, also we were just talking about the All-Star Weekend. What do you think of the everybody versus Eichel game?
Sounds good to me. If that's something that's in the works, get it going. I'm fine with that.
So basically, I would put six guys, the six best players in the league versus you.
Okay.
That's it. Six versus one. Think you can handle it?
So I have all computers and a computer goalie.
Pretty much.
All right. Yeah, sure. Set it up.
There you have it, everybody. Eichel's ready to take on the challenge in the All-Star Weekend. It's everybody versus Eichel, which has pretty much been the story of the. We'll talk about it a little later on the show. We'll pick Eichel. I mean, I don't want to make my whole show about New Jersey Devils and Eichel because we talked about it last week. But
yeah,
let's talk about it now. You guys are taking some shit. You're taking some shit, aren't you?
I guess you could say that. I mean, team's struggling, and I mean it's only so much longer we can hang in there.
There seems to be a group of players from Nashville that seems to be on your ass all the time. Like, I don't know if you've noticed Good Game Eichel gift files.
Yeah, well, you know what? I appreciate it. You know, it's really creative. You got to give a shout out to Holmes. It's a cool thing. And, you know, I think it's pretty cool. If he can send me it so I can put it on mine as my avatar, I'd appreciate it too. So, it is what it is, you know.
So why do you think they're giving you shit? Like, what did this stem from? I'm assuming this stemmed from a night that they blew you guys out of the water and you got mad when they said good game? Or where did this all come from?
I never said anything. I think it's just Holmes. You know, some of the guys in the league, they try to get a rise out of you, a reaction, and, you know, maybe in past years or past seasons I might have reacted differently to it, but, you know, they can keep it for the season or get rid of it or add bigger gifts if they want. It doesn't really bother me. I'm trying to focus on trying to help this team make a playoff push.
I love it. You're typical communications major. You're just diverting you make a good politician, bud. The politician.
Yeah, well,
divert
we'll
the question and focus on the game. So let's talk. I want to talk about the shellacking we laid into you guys last night. I want to talk about that. Were you okay there behind the net when I laid you out? Like, did you take any injury from that? I'd take 5 minutes for that, but did it hurt?
Well, it was. First of all, I want to say, and I know people are gonna, you know, find this an excuse. Two players were playing out of position because I had two no shows. Caster and Pollock is not a center, and Shep did his best he could. Yeah, he was playing. So the guys who were in the lineup weren't guys that were supposed to be playing where they were playing. So we play you guys again tonight, and we should have everybody who's playing in that game in their rightful position. So it might be a different story
tonight. Oh, I'm not in that game tonight. Oh, I'm
no.
In that game tonight.
I got to go
anyway.
After Diomedes or whatever his name is.
Yeah, well, if anybody didn't miss, we laid a shellacking to them last night, and no doubt about it. It was quite nice. I think we kept you to two shots after the second period. That's how bad it was.
Like I said, we were struggling. Guys didn't show up. I've been having that problem lately with guys on this team, putting in availabilities, and availabilities are not matching the games where I need people to play. But we're just trying to focus on winning games, and we've got to hurry up and start winning some games because the gap is starting to close and the walls are starting to close in on us, and it's starting to get to a point where we might not make it. So we got to start winning games, and you guys have to start showing up and finding ways to win games.
And that's just it. This is the theme of tonight's show. We're over the hump. The race is on, so to speak. And with that being said, let's get to let's talk about where everybody's sitting this week and what's good and what's bad. Let's round things up and how things shaped up this past week and where we're standing right now. Let's just do a quick look. I think all stats are in the last game. They better be. And looks like they are. So let's start at the bottom. Chicago Blackhawks. Shittiest team in the league right now. What'd you say, Scout Man?
Yeah, man. They're struggling. If there's anything I can say about them, is they're a hard-working team. They're going to keep clawing and scratching at it. Still get leading the way. Henderson's still leading the way. He's 47 points. My good buddy Kessel, 47 as well. My BFF is struggling. She's got a minus 19. But I think if there's any team that can shake it, it's them. They'll find a way to crawl their way into the playoffs. They always find a way, and I have faith that they'll figure it out at some point.
You know what? I gotta tend to disagree with you on this one. You say clawing and scratching back. Let's look at their last few games. 8-0 loss, Winnipeg. They lost 8-4. They got to win 8-4 against Toronto. Lost 10-2 to Dallas last week. They lost 8-0 to Nashville. They lost last night 10-2. I'm looking at this. They've got almost 40 goals scored on them in the last four games. I'm sorry, that's not clawing back. That's plain shit. Plain shit. I know Kessel's my buddy, but...
Well, also, as you can see, they haven't really made a lot of trades. So maybe Kessel might need to start thinking about moving. So I know he's close with a lot of the top guys. I know he's friends with Henderson, and he's friends with Foxbrook and these people. But, there comes a point where you need to start figuring out, are these the people that are going to help me get into the playoffs? Or do I need to maybe ship out and bring in something else to help me out? Or maybe some of the lower guys. But it's getting to a point where, he's got to figure it out. Him and Miller have to sit down and figure out how they can make a way in. Otherwise, if they want to ride it out with what they have, then maybe they won't make it.
Well, I'm saying right now we're in week 5 of 8, and their start off to week 5 and 8 is not very good from first night. If they need to make changes now, they need to make changes yesterday, in my opinion. They need to make moves. I mean, you got guys sitting on that roster with a minus 24, minus 22. This team is just horrible, absolute horrible. And it's not that they don't have the offensive power. I don't know if it's a defense issue or I mean, I feel bad for Rebel. Rebel was expected to be top goaltender for them, but he's almost got 400 shots on him, man. 23 games. Maybe they need a quick change in defense. You know, even Reznov, one of the top contenders for the Norris Trophy last season, he's sitting at a minus 9. I mean, there's nobody on this team just producing. So what is it, lack of leadership? Is it, lack of, worrying about breaking the friendship? I don't know what it is, but you're definitely right on one thing. They need to start clawing back. They needed to start clawing back yesterday, in my opinion. They're just playing absolutely horrible hockey. They can't be losing to Dallas 10-2. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. And I think, like Foxbrook just said in the chat box, a key to winning games are communication and teamwork. If you're in a party and you're playing games and the entire party is quiet, nobody's saying anything, and also practice, which they do a lot, obviously. I mean, they play at night. But I think this year, from what Foxbrook told me, they haven't really been playing a lot together at night. Like, I think Foxbrook's actually played more OTP games with me and Caster, and she's not even on our team. So I just think they need to start figuring out what they're going to do because, like you said, it's week 5. Trade deadline's in 2 weeks. So Kessler has to figure it out, or they might be having an early exit from the season.
Yeah, that's just the way it's going to stand. I don't imagine there's not many people talking in the party anyway. I don't think nobody wants to talk when you're losing 10-2 to the Dallas Stars.
When you're getting blown out by a team like that, it's tough. But like I said before, it's up to Kessel and Miller. I don't know if Kessel's head is in it all this season. I haven't really spoken to him as much as I have in past years. But I think Miller can try to figure it out, but they need to start figuring out how they can make some moves, moving some of their defensemen or moving some of their top guys. I know Kessel and Miller are friends with Foxbrook and Hendy, but if it's not working and you think you can get something good for those pieces to help you and maybe a fresh start for those players on a different team might help you, it might be time to maybe make that move.
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be made. It's got to be made this week. No doubt about it. It has to be made this week. Let's move on to the New Jersey Devils. That's your team. You guys are struggling as well. You've had a few wins last week, but not enough to get you in a playoff spot. You've dropped from, I think you were down to third, down to the second to last. You're just hanging on to that playoff spot, but you're not out of it yet. Like I said, even the Chicago Blackhawks are not out of it yet. I mean, if you look at it, the top bottom three teams are 30, 29, and 27. Remember, folks, you only need to make that. The last two teams don't make it. So it's anybody's game. But if you keep playing in the trend, like you guys in Chicago keep playing the way you've been playing, and Dallas is having great games, you ain't going to that lead's going to go slowly and slowly and slowly away.
Yeah, like I said to some of the boys last night, I said if Toronto, who's at 33, and Dallas, who's at 30, they keep winning games, it gets harder and harder and harder, and the window is starting to close and close. And for us, it's guys have to show up. I mean, when we have to play a game on a Sunday night and I have to put Caster, who's not really even a forward, at center, and I have to move one of my best defensemen to right wing and bring another defenseman to play, it's not to say that Shep is not a great winger. You didn't do that bad in that game, but, the guys have to show up. I need better availability from guys, and I feel like if you're not going to show up and you don't feel like you want to be here, then, help me figure it out, and maybe I can get you at the door, send you somewhere else where you feel like you'll be better suited. But we got to start winning games, and it starts tonight. We got to go and go and go, and I picked up another guy tonight in Flex, really solid winger. I played some OTP games with him this weekend. He is solid, solid, solid. He's brothers with defenseman I got, King Manolis. Solid winger. I think he's going to help us out offensively. So I just need guys that are going to come in and fight. Like Castro was saying last week, we need to fight. And at the beginning of the season, we were losing games, and we came back and won. We got to start fighting and start winning games because I don't want to exit the playoffs. It's my first year as an owner, and I want to at least have a shot at trying to do some damage in the playoffs. So guys got to show up and start producing. So hopefully those guys are out there listening. And
your team, and I'll put the questions to you. I mean, Tyler, Big Talk, him is going to be a strong goaltender for him. He actually looks like he's got better numbers than King Direwolf right now. So you go with a guy like Tyler that's playing a little bit better than your main goalie, or do you stick with the main gun?
Well, I think for us, it's like I said, it's availabilities. You know, if Tyler can't play every night and can only play certain nights of the week, then you got to ride what you have. Would I say Direwolf is playing as high level as Tyler? Probably not. I think Tyler has a little edge. But, you know, it's a matter of availability. If Tyler can only play two games a week or four games and Direwolf only play four, then I've got to match it to where, you know, it suits me best. But I think they're both good. I think Tyler has a little edge over him with experience. I mean, he's been a goalie in this league before. Vezina winner, which I went out to go get him for. Hopefully he can help us win two big games tonight. And going forward, we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Yeah, we got. You also noticed you got the $6 million big paycheck on Dahmer. He played his first game within the last week or so. So went to minus five, one assist. Doesn't look like somebody you're going to pay $6 million should be performing a little bit better than that. Were you disappointed in his play, or, you know, what are you expecting from this guy?
I'm expecting a lot out of him. You know, it's hard. When you're joining a team and you've never played with the people you're playing with for the first time, and I noticed with this team, it's like a trend where we lose a game, an early game, and then it carries over to the next game. Whereas even if we have a different lineup, it's like the mentality leans over to the second one, and we've got to shake it. If we lose a game, the next one we got to go into it going, okay, that game's over with, let's regroup. And a lot of the guys, they get down on themselves and they get frustrated and they're annoyed. It's a game, we lost it, let's get back on it and let's go get the next game. You know, two tough games tonight, Nashville and Montreal, two of the top teams in the league. You know, and we got to figure it out. So hopefully the guys can come out and play and help us pick up two big wins tonight.
Excellent. Let's move up the board. Dallas Stars, to me, the most improved team this week. They really struggled in last place last week, towards the first of last week and whatnot, but they have really come high or hell water. I don't know if it's if they're playing better or the two teams above them are playing shittier. I think it's a combination of both. They had a really solid week last week. That was a big win against the Chicago Blackhawks. They took up 10-2 last week. And so far this week, looks like they've been able to snag a win off you guys. And they got another forfeit win off Chicago. So they're having a really good, strong week. Looks like they picked up another win on you guys on Wednesday night of last week. And, of course, so they're playing strong, 10-2 against Chicago. So they're playing really, really well. In my opinion, probably the most improved team, the team to watch right now. And, you know, I know I was talking to Rainbow Treasury. He was having a lot of issues trying to get that roster down. He wanted to get it down to a smaller size, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to do that. And you know, but maybe. And big news out of the Dallas too. They released Nisk X2 as their GM, and they've now hired Snoopy. There was some controversy last night in one of the games last night where Snoopy was. There was a rule and questionable infraction. I know the league's looking into that about a legout issue. So. And Snoopy's role as the GM is kind of being tested a little bit, so we'll see how that turns out towards the end of the week. But overall, this team played really well, and they got some big wins. Twisted Dream is in Sky, and Preds hockey. He's stepping up to the plate. We talked to Castor earlier on in the season. Prez wasn't happy over there They really want Preds, the Blue Nose, and a couple of the other boys weren't really happy over there, but now they're starting to gel together. Maybe they might be a little bit more happier. Airsoft was another player that he's only played six games. I think he had a 8 point game last week. So this team is really picking the pace up, and these are going to be the guys to watch. And like I said, on the free agency, they picked up Revitup Az and B. Duncan there over the past week or so. So it will be interesting to see how these guys turn out. And good job to these guys. And, you know, they're really working their ass off. They're holding that spot. So it's going to be an interesting battle there for those last three spots. Time will tell at the end of this week. Moving up the board, Toronto Maple Leafs. Those were my pick last week to watch. They're pretty much sitting in the same spot they did last week. They really haven't moved. I mean, I think they played 500 hockey last week, if I'm not mistaken. They got a couple big wins, a couple bad losses, but they're playing 500 hockey. I know they had a huge win last night against the Nashville Predators, which is kudos for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Poison Killer is doing a phenomenal job, still in the running in Jack Adam Trophy, in my opinion. I mean, big wins for them last week. I mean, they beat Nashville 6-3. They had a big win over Winnipeg last week. Took a couple rough losses. I know you guys took them out 2-1 last week. But looks like Toronto, I mean, they're playing 500 hockey, and if you keep playing 500 hockey, you're going to make a playoffs, right?
Yeah, like I said, it's the gap between them and Dallas is starting to get deep. If Toronto keeps winning games and Dallas keeps winning games, like I said, it's going to be hard for us in Chicago to catch them, and they have a good team. You know, they picked up the Ploop, who everybody knows is a dominant force in this league. Purple Pickles, his best friend, and he's playing well, along a line with Slugger. That's a dangerous line. They're tearing up points. They still have Smitty, who I didn't think was going to stay there, but ended up staying and helping that team out. You know, they keep winning games. It's going to be harder for everybody else to catch them, and they'll slowly move away from the pack, which I'm sure
continue to make it easy for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they're playing 500 hockey right now and the other teams are well below that, that's going to make their game a lot easier at this point. I mean, all they have to do is keep doing what they're doing, they're going to hit the playoffs, no doubt about it. I mean, there's a bit of a gap between them and the fourth-place team, but, I mean, chances are they're not going to hit that bye spot, but if they keep playing the way they're playing, they're going to have no problem making the playoffs. But if things start to pick up down in the lower half, between those lower half teams, which already is for Dallas, then they're going to have to pick up their game. But keep doing what you're doing, guys. It's working thus far. And I want to congratulate Poison Killer. He's doing an amazing job over there, and he's really picked up the team.
Yeah, that'll be a good matchup because those two teams face each other tonight in the early game. So that'll be a good matchup to see. You know, Dallas and Toronto, they're playing together against each other on the first game tonight, so it'll be big to see who gets those 2 points. Can Dallas close the gap on them, or does Toronto beat them and keep moving further and further up the ladder?
And I know I talk about it every week, and I talk about it. I probably got a man crush on Ploop. I want to give him the bone. But, I mean, he's played 9 games, 27 points. I mean, we all know, though, we learned from last season that you can't rely on one team or one line when it comes to playoffs. Hence the point, Buck last year and his team in the Vancouver. Was it Vancouver? No, who team they're at? Vancouver? I can't remember. But, no,
Winnipeg,
San Jose.
What are you talking about?
San Jose. You can't rely on the one line when it comes to playoffs. You need depth. You need to be able to put...
Yeah, from last year. Yeah.
And that's what I think the mistake of San Jose was last year. So I think if Poison, you know, don't put all your chickens in one, or eggs in one basket if you want to do the old Easter theme. But you can't... Yeah, Ploop's helping the team out, but if you look at the other aspects of it, there seems to be a lot of guys that are contributing to that team. TP Blue, Slugger, Smitty, you can't count those ones. And oh my God, I, you know, I've played some club games with Poison Killer, and I know No Name X is playing really good in net, but holy cow, Poison Killer has really stepped up his game in net. If he turns around and decides to play net for these guys, we're in trouble. Because probably one of the best positional goalies I've seen in a long time play net, and I know that's his original position, I think he's leaving it up to No Name X and wants to play. Not to discount his forward, but he's a much better goalie than he is a forward. So let's move up down the line. Move up the line. We've got everybody, the chat box is just going crazy. everybody wants to call in and make their comments, get on the radio and have Ricard talk to them.
Dahmer wants to call in because he didn't like what you said, because he's the highest, because he got paid the money that he got paid. So he wants to call in and voice his opinion on it.
And it's not call-in time. Call-in time is not now. You guys know this. If you were around long, you would know. So you need to chillax, bro. And if you got something to say a little later on the show, by all means, bring it on. It's plain and simple. You're paid $6 million. You got 1 point. I don't care if you're trying to gel with the team or not. Put a fucking puck in the net, bud. You know, that's just my opinion. If someone's going to fork out that much cash for you. Winnipeg Jets, another team that's really climbed up the pole. And I'm going to tell you, man, these guys are an offensive team to reckon with. We played them last night. I mean, I don't count myself as the best defenseman, but I play pretty good stay-home D. I try to lock things down as best as I can. And I'm going to tell you, these guys were a bit of a pain in the ass to try to defend last night. And they had a big win over us. I think it was, let me look at the scoreboard last night. They took a big win from us over the, I think they beat us 8-5.
Like
it was pretty close.
6-4 or something?
What?
Was it like 6-4 or 6-3 or something like that?
8-5. We played them pretty close going into the third. As soon as the third hit, boom, they just opened it up. Disco made some amazing saves. I mean, still a good goaltender. But Lido, Dostavason, if you don't know him as D-Red, I mean, and Resnick, these guys, Iceman has built his, if all the teams in the league right now, this is probably the most in-depth team that I've seen this season. And, I mean, they've got a solid first line, then they've got a solid second line. Defense seems to be okay. Frazier's played 14 games. I know Iceman's played quite a bit. But as far as their offense goes, if these guys get a goal lead on you, look out. 3 or 4 goal lead on you, you're in trouble. It's hard to come back. It just seems like when they score one, we score one. We score one, they score one. So they can definitely put the puck in the net. The most in-depth team that I think this season, Iceman and Disco built themselves a great team there. And I'm still a little upset. They're not giving Bassani a chance. I wish somebody would pick him off waivers because this guy, nobody's given him a chance. He's been around for 2 seasons. And I'm getting tired of people complaining that nobody's showing up, yourself included, Eichel. Having a hard time people showing up. Pick guys like this up off the fucking waivers.
Wingers, Lekar. It's centers that I had problems with.
Well, he'll play center first. The man will play.
The thing is, and I got respect for the kid. He's a solid player. He really wants to play. I saw the numbers he had last year, and I'm solid
never
at wings.
Last year.
Tell somebody else to pick him up. I just picked up another winger on my team today.
I don't want to hear you bitching every week. I don't want to hear you bitching every week making complaints. Oh, the reason why we lost our game because we didn't have the right people in the game. Nobody's showing up. People need to show up. You got guys like that that are sitting on the bench and always picking them off waivers. Nobody should be complaining for people not playing. You want to have guys sitting on your bench who are not going to play, but you got active guys sitting in the undress bench on waivers every week. Don't bitch about nobody showing up because I'm guaranteed you pick this guy up, even at least sit him on your undressed bench, he's going to play for you. He's going to show up and play. On every night, I don't even know the kid. But I asked him to be league scout. I said, Bassani, he approached me, can I be league scout? I said, well, as soon as you get on the team, I'm going to put you league scout. Fucking guy's got Google Docs, he's got people this, he's got everybody, he's keeping contact with people on this. That's just the kind of guy he is. So, no more bitching and complaining about nobody showing up. You want to keep inactive guys in your team because that's another problem. I'm going to go on my little rant here now. Guys are bitching about people not showing up. They're not showing up for games. They're not putting no-show warnings. They're not putting no availability warnings on them. Yada, yada, yada. Well, I really don't want to make waves. Release these guys. If they're inactive and they're not playing, move them along and bring somebody else that's going to fill the void because you know, case in point last night, probably 60% of the reason why you guys lost that game because you had players out of position because people weren't showing up.
Absolutely. I agree.
So what do you do? Do you keep with what you got? Do you shuffle out? I mean, I'm going to talk about my own team. We got a guy like LeSaint, known as Death Studio. Guy's pretty much been same as he is every year. He signs up. He puts his availability out. When it comes half an hour to 2 hours before game time, well, I can't work, man. I got to go to work. What do you do with a guy like that? You know, he's taking up a roster spot when you got guys that are sitting there that want to play. No more complaining that you're not having people showing up. Plain and simple. You see active guys that are, I mean, Castro will tell you this. You see active guys that are willing to play and put forth the effort on the team, you pick them up. You pick them up because you know they're going to show up. Anyway, that's my rant for the last hour. But good job, Winnipeg. Keep up the good work. Montreal Canadiens. If anything, the Montreal Canadiens are kind of slacking. I'll say that about my own team. We went from top spot for the first 2 weeks. We held on to that, had a nice gap. We lost that gap. But I think a lot of that was we already had built-in chemistry. The other teams, of course, didn't have that built-in chemistry yet, and they were still figuring things out. Now, some of the teams are starting to, you know, get a little chemistry, and they're starting to be a little bit competitive.
Right,
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I'm playing pretty shitty at D. I mean, we picked up some new demons, but I'll tell you right now, Miz is another mistake, the guy that sat on the undress bench over in Boston, because Miz the Reaper played a phenomenal game against you guys last night.
He shut my ass down. I didn't do anything in that game.
Pretty solid D last night in that game. I was quite impressed. I was like, is that Miz the Reaper playing over there? Didn't have a great second game. No one did that game, but like he was positional. I mean, I thought him being a forward coming back and playing D, you know what, if you play all you D men out there and you think about your fours that come back and try to play D, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Oh, fuck, they're going to pinch all the time, and I'm going to be stuck at our blue line. Not the case with Miz. Miz actually played very stay-at-home, moved the puck well, and he was pretty solid on the ice. So he made a really great debut for us there last night. But we started off, what's keeping us in those top three spots is we got a couple of big wins last week. We beat Nashville, won their one game. We played 500 hockey last week. We're pretty much 500 hockey right now. I think we won one, lost one last night. But that's what kept us in it last night. Goaltending, I think, was our biggest issue last week. Kurdog was there, but Kurdog can't play the late games. So we had to put Seabass in there for a couple games. Mind you, he held his own. He's not a goalie. He should be playing forward. He should be putting pucks in the net. And the more games we put him at goalie, the less pucks are going in the net, in my opinion. And he's not happy when he's not playing for it. So, I mean, nobody wants to be stuck playing a position they don't like. But being the owner, rather than taking a forfeit, he had a step between the pipes. So we picked up Jack Power Tuna this week. He's another goaltender. A very good, solid D. I know Jack back in the EHL days. I haven't seen him play in a while, but he's a pretty solid forward over in LG in the, on the NHL team. So we'll see what he can do for us. And probably be making his debut sometime this week. What do you got to say?
Sorry to cut
you
off, but you sure fired up Bethany because he is going off right now in the chat box after what you just said.
What do you mean?
He's just going off about the fact that I guess teams are not picking him up, including myself, and he's just going off.
Well, he should. The guy's willing to play. And you got all these guys running around saying nobody's showing up and they're getting forfeits. You got guys like that. I'm sure he may be scheduled left wing, but he'll play anywhere. You know, I guarantee this guy, he's gotten to the point now he wants to play. So my challenge to you guys out there, you owners and GMs out there, give this guy a chance. Give him a chance, and I guarantee he'll put out for you. I'm calling it right now. He'll put out for you, whether it's sexually or hockey, or hockey's not even a word, but whatever. Give him a chance. So Montreal, yeah, slipping, but if they can continue to play 500 hockey, they'll hold that 300 spot. But I got a feeling there's Kurdog's back. Well, he wasn't back last. He was back last week, but there's a different vibe in the air. That big win we took from you guys last night kind of sparked us a little bit, and then we got our sails blown out of us in the second game. But I got a good vibe that this week's going to be a good week. I know that this is another team that, you know, just like Chicago. Chicago gets comfortable with what they have and don't want to hurt friends and make trades. They have to be careful not to worry about breaking up friendships before what's good for the team. Because, as you can see, they've been gradually slipping each week. Mm-hmm. If that trend continues, then as an owner, you have to say to yourself, I got to make a change. Because now we're gone from being on the top of the mountain, now I'm at the middle of the mountain. I gotta make a change.
Do you think this is your team, and you know more about your team than anybody else, including myself? With the trade deadline 2 weeks away, do you think your team needs to make some trades?
I do. I think whether it be me, myself, I know I haven't been playing good D. I'm a minus eight. Maybe they got to address me. But I think that sometimes the old doesn't always work. I know there's guys on the team that want to play with certain people just because they always play with them. But when it comes to a big overall team perspective, I think you got to mix and match it. Because obviously the first 2 weeks, yeah, we were successful, but I think the success, mind you, was the team itself, but it was helpful that the other teams hadn't found their chemistry yet, and they already had chemistry. But now the other teams are starting to find their chemistry, so it's making the job a little bit harder for them. So what do? Do you continue on going along with what you're doing, even though it's not getting to where you want to be? It's just making you sit in the middle, or you change it up. I don't know.
Do you think it's maybe shoring up your defense, or is it maybe or shoring up your offense a little bit?
Well,
what do you think the team is struggling most, defensively or offensively?
It's both. Sometimes it depends on the night. Like last night, more so. I'd say the second game we played, it was defense. It was probably we gave up a couple of bad pucks, yada, yada, yada. But then there's some nights it's offense. They just can't get nothing going. They just try the same thing over and over and over and over and don't try to change it up. So it's each night is different. But like I said, this week we played a different line. I think they put Jay Habanero, Firm Data, and Dinkus together. They played against you guys against New Jersey. They were phenomenal. They played phenomenal together, those three. But those aren't guys that normally play together, right? It's because of Firm Data. He's got three brothers on the team. They call them the brothers. Affirm Data, Dominides, and they usually play together. But, Dinkus, Seabass say, well, availabilities didn't work out the right. Let's try something different. And that worked. It worked for them. They had a lot of chemistry there. I think in the second game, the chemistry was still, they missed a lot of chances. Disco played an amazing game, kind of robbed them. But I think the defense probably a little bit of the goaltending. Kurtov didn't have one of his strongest games last, so it was probably more of a goaltending defensive aspect of that second game last night. But as far as I'm concerned, that's what I'm saying. They're changing things up a little bit. And here's the problem. You've got Steve Ott, Penn's 8718. Penn's 871 is a phenomenal right winger. But he's only available for late games. And him and Penn's are friends, and Jay Habanero and Dinkus are friends, and Firm Data.
So it's pretty much like the Chicago team, where it's friends. And you see, the thing is maybe if they were to move a guy like Penz, or maybe if they were to move a guy like somebody else, that person wouldn't play on another team. They probably told him, like Penz probably said, oh, well, if you trade me from this team, I probably won't play. So it gets to a point where you can't move anybody, because if you move them, they won't play for another team.
And that's kind of sad that happens, but it does happen. But I think they're working with it now. Delta Shark, they picked him up over the last few weeks. He's a pretty solid forward. So I think now Dinkus is that's taking over. No offense to Steve. It was a good GM and all, but Steve liked to play with certain people and really wasn't overly open to, trying new things in regards to that. But now that Dinkus has taken over, he knows what's best for the team. Seabass is always... So they work really well together in trying to come up with a strategy that works. But I don't want to talk about my team, though. Let's move out the line. Nashville Predators. Well, these guys have been a strong team from the start. They started off from the bottom. They worked their way up. Has it hurt them this week that Legacy is going to be off for a week and possibly two games next week? Do you think it's hurting them? No. Well, they did have a loss last night against they're 1-1 this week. But I don't think it will hurt them all that much. The reason being is you still got Holmes Rule and Tretiak, A1 Freak, Post Downfall, Dayman. I mean, with one of these guys off the roster, they're still able to put pucks in the net. And I'm still amazed why Tretiak is still sitting up top there. I know that he's getting pile passes, he's passing to Holmes Rule, but still, it's just, I know Holmes Rule's catching up on him, but these guys are a strong team, but Ami made a comment in one of the forums there, in one of the articles, saying, it's nice to see that this year everything's close, and he knows that they can be beat, and people will beat them. So that's the positive thing. They're sitting at 45 points. They're only one ahead of Montreal, and it's impressive. And when they want to win, they'll win, but they can be beaten. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, they're a good team, but if you come out and you play hard, I think anybody in this league can be beat. I don't think any given night, it's like anything. If you show up and compete, you can win games. If you don't show up
exactly.
and compete, then you're going to get your ass handed to you. So.
Yep, exactly. And, I mean, they're just as equal as every other team there. And, kudos to them. We'll see what their record. They're 1-1 so far this week. Without Legacy, is it going to be a downfall for them, or is it not going to change? Why are they just going to continue to play? They want to play. And then, last but not least, the most defensive team in the league. I can't say enough about the Boston Bruins. These guys are dominating the penalty kill. Considering that they're taking the most penalties in the league, their penalty kill is 79.2%. Plus, they have the best goals against average, 20 better than the next team. So, what does that tell you? These guys are defensive monsters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, for sure.
And I look at their defense. I mean, I know Luch is a good defenseman. Skull DeVries, pretty good defenseman. Don't know about this Chews and Brews guy. But when I look at, and Maverick, of course, but when I look at this roster, and I see that they've got a goals against average of 84, which is 20 plus better than the next team, which is 109, Nashville. I look at their penalty minutes, 292 penalty minutes. The only next one close to them after that is you guys with 262. And then their penalty kill, best in the league, 79%. So this not only tells me that. Well, I know. And look at their hits, 597 hits. That's probably why they're taking so many penalties. What this tells me is not only the defensemen are playing defense, the forwards are playing defense. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
This team, except for Mavericks, a -1. Zebra King, I think he played 5 games, won a -15. He'll probably sit in the undressed bench for quite some time with that number. 5 games
yep.
at -15. That's a Vaccaro number right there. You know what I mean? That's a Vaccaro right there. Good job, TK. I know I've got a letter of resignation from Luch probably 4 times already this season. One of my BODs can correct me on that, but I know at least he's tried to resign 4 times. Why? You got a great team. You built a fantastic team. Stop being emo. Carry it on, because if you guys continue to play the way you're playing, you're going to be riding yourself to the finals. I mean, you haven't had a lot of turnover. You haven't a lot of guys are showing up. It looks like you got some chemistry built there. You got old Willie putting pucks in
Willie
that.
Boy.
You got Dak. Old Willie Boy and Dak. You got a very in-depth team. Not as in-depth as Winnipeg.
No.
You have a defensive depth. A lot of defensive depth. They'd be more defensively in-depth. Like, all these... these guys are... They're just they all should be playing defense, and they're still putting pucks in the net. So, good job for you guys, Boston. Keep up the good work. I think you went 7-1 last week. Did they not?
I think they did go 7-1. Yeah.
They went 7-1 this week, and they're already 2-0 this week. This will be the team to watch. If they have another 7-1 week, nobody's catching them.
Yeah, I agree.
They're gonna walk away with that President's Trophy. So there you have it. There is our roundup for the week. And we'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about who's hot and who's not.
As I'm down.
That's right. This is the time of the show that we talk about the best. Time to brag those guys' egos up. Make them feel like they're all important in the world. They can put their thumbs in a certain way or put a virtual puck into a virtual net. You're not real NHL players, guys. You're not something special. You just know how to play a video game. But in this video game, you're simply the best. You still with me, buddy?
Yo.
Let's talk about it this week. We'll talk about, you know, I want to change it up this week. I think it takes a little bit too much time for each of us to go through our top three. So what I'm going to do is this week, you and I are going to pick the top three this week. We're going to agree, disagree. You can talk about people you want to mention. We'll go top defenseman, top forward, and top goaltender. How do you think of that?
Agree. Let's do it.
All right. So I'll give you my nominees this week. I'll start off with me. I'll start with my top forwards, who I thought. We'll see if our lists match. If you want to know, and I don't base it just off the league leader section. But as I mentioned to you before, we will be coming up with a Hall of Records. So if you guys want to keep an eye on that. I'm going to have three nominees for this one. I'll let you know who I pick out of that one when I'm stopped. I got to have to, give a shout-out. You know, I'm looking at this week. I'm looking at guys like Jay Resnick, Dustin Mason from the Winnipeg Jets. Again, that's last week. Lito. We're talking about Lito. Lito, and I'm going to have to get a shout-out to my buddy Dinkus. I told Dinkus this week, and I know it's the start of a new week and a little bit into last week, but Dinkus had a very big game on Wednesday night. I called it. I said it's going to be his breakout week, and already this week, in week two, we're kind of doing it in a week, half week here. I do apologize for that, but because I wasn't on the air later in the week there, but already he's got 4 points, 4 assists, 4 goals, 8 points, 2 games. He's going to be my top four for the week. I'm biased. I don't give a fuck. I called it last week. I said he was going to be my breakout guy. Castro even said it. He's been saying it week after week. When is this guy going to start to show up? And he had a really good week last week. And I'm going to also have to give him, we haven't talked about him this year, but honorary mention, A1 Freak. I know he only played one game so far this week, but last week he had a pretty solid week. He's got 7 points so far this week. This guy, I called him down a couple of times throughout the season just based off him not showing up. But I'm looking at his numbers, and he's actually showing up to games, which is good for him. Glad that he's helping produce on his team. But I'm going to have to give this week, in my opinion, my top forward, Dinkus Maximus from the Montreal Canadiens, based on his performance thus far. He's having his breakout week. Keep up the good work, buddy. Moving to defenseman of the week. So far this week, here's an interesting fact. Had a good week last week. Finished the week up. The captain, had a really good week at 7 points. Horse Hockey had a pretty solid week. Dementor had a pretty solid week. But you know what? I don't give this guy as much love as I should. And I know he's a good buddy of mine, and I'm always giving him a shit and a hard time. But Iceman 9 has been playing pretty solid on D. Had a chance to play against him last night. He played pretty solid. You know, he's only putting out 2 points. 2 games, he got 2 points this week so far. He's a minus one, but he had a pretty solid week last week. I know he did play some forward. But just from the game that I played against him last night, he was pretty solid. 4 games, one goal, 4 assists, rocked out with 5 points. So Iceman 9, for all the times I've given you shit, I'm giving you a good call up tonight. Good job, buddy. You're back to your original position of D. Keep up the good work. You're keeping up there with the big boys. And, of course, goaltending. I mean, I think everybody's going to have to agree on this one with goaltending for the week. Last week, as you know. Now, we were talking about this last week. Smitty, towards the end of last week, had a bit of a rough week. Kind of a new name on the board. I'm going to talk about last week. Maverick, I'm not going to talk about your 95% save percentage because you played in one game. But I'm going to have to talk about this Marchessault. He had a pretty good week last week. And he put up some numbers. He went 3-0 last week. He was 1.8 goals against average. 0.8 and 88.46. So he had a better week than Smitty last week. Smitty went 2-3. 70. He's pretty much lead the top with goaltender. And I'm going to have to say that I'll give my number one pick this week to Marcosaurus. I think I'm saying that. Marcosaurus. And I know you're hating me saying that because he has been giving you shit all week, Michael. He has.
He's one of them.
He's giving you shit right now. But you can't lie. You can't deny that he played pretty solid in goaltending last week. But if you look at the overall positions for goaltenders, in my opinion, you know, Smitty's still holding his own. He's running for the Vezina, no doubt about it. Go. What do you think, buddy? Who's your best this week?
All right. Well, for forwards, I gotta give him credit. He's only played two games this week, and kudos to Dinkus and Seabass. Affirmed data: 2 games, 8 points, plus two. I'm sure that's huge for you guys. That's phenomenal. 2 games played, already 8 points. Definitely got to give it up to A1 Freak as well.
See? You see? I talked about it. They mixed him up on a different line.
Yeah.
This week he's had.
A1 Freak, you got to give it up there. Smitty as well. 2 games, 7 points, plus one. He's playing well for them. Defensively, let's go back to last week. Definitely got to keep it up with Omni. He's still playing well. Even this week, he has 7 assists in 2 games, so he's helping out, dishing that out. And then goalie, I got to stay with you. Marcosaurus, hate saying it, but kid played well, 3 wins, like you said, goals against average of 1.08. So those would be my nominees as well.
Excellent, excellent. So, looking at the line, who I think was disappointing to me this week and a half, I guess you want to say, who should have really put out the numbers that I weren't overly impressed. They should be doing better than what they should have been. Willie, what are you doing, bud? Come on, buddy. You're leading the team over in points there, Willie. Stop playing heist. Get on the ice. That's all I got to say. Stop playing heist. Get the fuck on the ice. Willie, you need to do better.
I have more points than you right now.
That's how I judge, really. When I look at the, like I'm looking now, season week 5, I'm looking at the overall points for the week. And anybody who's below Eichel that should be above Eichel, you're not doing very well, guys.
Yeah.
You're not doing very well. That would include, that list include, and not excluding, X-Kessel, Foxbrook, Castron Paul, TP Blue, Williams, Smitty, Jim from Files, Affirm Data, Slugger 921, Steve Ott, Dinkus Maximus, Zinky Pooch. That's a lot of people on that list that should be above Eichel. Guys, that's not cool. That's not cool. Goaltending wise, Smitty, you had a rough week. You weren't as solid as you were in the first few weeks, but you can't have a perfect week every week. Like I said, my biggest disappointment this week was Tyler. He come talking shit. I kind of believed him, and he hasn't produced yet. 2-2, 75.44, 3.5 goals against average. You got to pick up on the pace in that one, buddy. You want to run around and talk shit, and you want to be good. You can't say you're good. You got to be good. And defensive-wise, Black. He's my pick this week. Where have you been, Black? You're a minus 13. Pick it up, buddy. I played D with him. You can play better than
Wasn't he their first-round pick, too?
He was their first, one of their top picks, and Black.
Yeah,
it's one of these situations. Is once you go Black, you never go back. Well, I'm going back, baby. So
that's good. I like that.
So Black, get your shit together, buddy, because you know your team needs you. You can't be losing to Dallas 13-2. That's all I got to say with that. And so let's. There you have it. Happy birthday, Henderson. You twat waffle. Henderson 33's birthday today. It's not his birthday. Oh, it is his birthday.
Yeah, Henderson, he's 113 today, apparently.
Oh, yeah, they played around with that last week. So, happy birthday, buddy. Go outside, get some sun. I heard you're looking a little pale.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Go,
get some sun.
Henderson, I'm still waiting for that first Deedle single to come out. Let me know when that comes out so I can get it on iTunes.
He's going to make a hum deedle in commercial for me. Somebody's working on it.
Yeah, you're working on it. You actually should come in and do one live. That'd be great.
I think you should come on and hum-deedle for us on the show right now.
I absolutely.
You should do it in a hum-deedling birthday tune. There you have it. If you guys all want Henderson 33 to come hum-deedle, go hum-deedle. So come hum-deedle, Henderson. Hum-deedle-deedle, hum-deedle-doo, hum-deedle-deedle-deedle-doo. So let's talk about it. It's the time I like to talk about. Well, actually, let's do a little quick review. Let's talk about, what do we want to talk about here? Let's talk about the league leaders this week and who are the standout players according to the stats.
All right, boys, listen up. We're still in this thing. We just need a quick one. Listen up, Cass! We got to work harder than them, okay? Get harder than them, guys. You know what's hard work? Going through a divorce. She's trying to get all my money now. She can have half of it. I don't give a shit. The other half, hard work, mine. Some guys on their team are fucking divorced. Three guys there. These fucking marriages are in the fucking toilet.
We're playing divorced guys.
Yeah. We gotta be fucking triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
Hard.
Greek fucking underground gay porn, hard.
You're all Adonises.
Highlanders, gay porn, hard. Gay porn, hard!
This is the time of the show we like to talk about who the best in the league are. You can do this. I'm just reading from the XHL standout players. Offensive player of the week, once again for week five in a row, Tretiak X20. He's been an offensive force this season, notching 20 goals, 55 assists, with a whopping 75 points. I threw up in my mouth a little when I read that. Holmes Rule, also being in charge of the team for the playoff push. He's got 43 goals, 25 assists. And he's not far behind his teammate, 68 points. That's far this season. Defensive-wise, a.k.a. Animal Mop, Somni. Why do you spell your name with a zero? It should be an O. Somni has put one of the best leagues in the blue line. He's got a plus 29, dishing out 18 hits. He's also managed to notch 5 goals, 32 assists, 37 points this week. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying that. I peed a little when I read this name. Skull Duggery, 65. He's holed the blue line with a plus minus of 25, laying out 136 hits and putting up 5 goals, 14 assists so far this season. He is on the road to a Norris Trophy along with his buddy, Somni, whatever fucking weird name. Goalies, this week, 1-31. The site's telling me he's posted 5 wins, 6 losses, 12 games played, GAA of 0.39. That makes no sense whatsoever. That would be nearly impossible. Of course, Smitty is leading the pack for top goaltending. But I have to say, over this week and next week, it is probably Marchessault putting a solid performance in 0.30, and we all agree them and ran them off. Incus Maximus brought old-time hockey to the ice. He's leading the hits at 168 hits. Incus Maximus has been keeping everybody honest by only taking 16 penalties for 45 minutes, and I know for a fact he's going to be putting out more hits because he finally puts shit on for strength. So it'll be interesting to see what in Skull Degree. Can I look at the hits? Hits is a big one. I like people like to track hits. He's pretty much blowing Skull Degree out of the water. Here's the interesting fact though. A1 Freak has only played half the amount of games that Dink has played. If he played the same amount, he'd be at 204 right now. 204 hits, I guarantee it. No offense, Dinkins, you can hit, but I know A1 Freak. If he's playing 22 games, he could technically be sitting at 204 hits. Don't you agree, Stout?
I totally agree. I think he could have a lot more than he has. Start going out and start crunching some bodies.
Exactly. And I don't look at his penalty. Unfortunately, he doesn't do that. Looking at the gambling this week, the view of the leaderboard, people are still putting money down, except myself. Let's look at the gambling this week. We've got Eichel, big loser, 25,000. You suck.
Yeah.
Big winner from Mazzoni. He got nothing else to do. He's not playing, so he might as well bet. 146,000. That's a huge win for him. The job, Bassani had that extra $1,000 you won from the goal horn competition. Next, we had the biggest banks right now. Bassani's leading the pack. He's got 76 grand in that. And, of course, he's the high roller, 81,000. So, next to him is DeChronic. So, if you're going to be betting on games, folks, You might want to follow what Bassani's doing, because he seems to know he's got a little bit extra cash there. But I guess he's got nothing to do but eat cheesies, masturbate, and gamble on XYHL website. Pick him up, boys. His dick's getting orange. Okay, so, I don't got no humdealing yet, so I'm not talking about you anymore, Henderson. Once I get a humdeedle, we'll talk more about you. So let's move on down the line. Let's talk about the ever so my favorite segment of the show. And it's all your favorite segment of the show. It's time for Freak Out of the Week Award. Yeah. It's our weekly award. We take the time to honor those that freak out in the chat box. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I haven't been around a lot this week because I've been working.
Oh, I love this one. Here we go.
I don't really know. I don't really know who's got the Freak Out of the Week Award. You might have to help me on this one.
Well, would you like to give a Freak Out of the Week? You see, I'm sure everybody thought it was going to be me with all these kids thinking they're cool with their beautiful Eichel G get goods, but fortunately it wasn't me. I didn't really see any much activity. Yesterday there was Voracek and our team in a game we had last night. They were going off pretty much last night. So I guess I'm going to have to give it to the lineup that I had in last night and Voracek as candidates.
Really? I missed that one.
Yeah, that was last night. There was a little misunderstanding in that late game, but they were going at it. I think it was Shep, Dahmer, Direwolf, and Caster from my team against Voracek and some of the guys from Dallas. But
wow. So was that the game?
And I think we should give one to Bassani because he's yelling in the chat box, "Stop fucking putting capital letters." That's Foxbrook's thing, and I don't think she's gonna like that very much.
So let's move the truck up a bit. I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll come back to that. Freak Out of the Week goes to New Jersey Devils and Voracek, but we'll come back to that. There was a bit of a controversy last night. Let's come back to that real quick. I know we've got about 20 minutes left in the show. I still want to get in and talk about. I always like to talk about him because I know he sits and waits by the radio all night for us to do this segment. So, talking about the new $1 million man.
The bloop.
As you know, it's $1 million. What?
The bloop.
The bloop. That's what they said. Why the bloop?
Because he poops on people. I don't know.
No, he just thought it was funny. That was a funny name, the bloop.
Yeah, the bloop, yeah.
So let's talk about the bloop. We've got, he's the $1 million man, highest paid in the league. And we monitor his status, see if he's living up to his paycheck. And if he does, everybody gets some money put into their bank if he can make it all the way to the top. So pressure's on him. And let's have a look where the bloop is. Overall, we even said we'd be okay with the top 5 if he's late in the league. Where are you in the bloop? I'm scrolling down. Well, you're still not in the top 20 yet. But of the 9 games you played, you put 27 points. That's still impressive. How did you do last week? You top 10 last week. What's he doing so far this week? Bloop, where are you? He hasn't played yet, probably. So I think it's... He sent me a message the other night. He said, I don't think it's possible to be the top 5. I think it is possible. I think it can happen. We've never had a $1 million man live up to his name. Never had.
So where do you say he has to get to? Top 5 or top 10?
I told him top 5. Top 5, that's fair.
With 5 weeks left? If Poison's going to have to put him in 5 games a week if he's going to catch that. That's tough. Playing 5 games a week and you have through 4 weeks left, that's tough.
How much is he averaging per point per game right now? Let's have a look. He's 9 games, 27 points in 9 games, right? So right now he's averaging roughly, let's say, 3 points a game. So if he plays 5 games a week, let's think about it, 5 games a week, we've got 4 weeks left. That's 20 games at 3 points a week, 3 points a game. He could rack another 60 points on top of the 27 he already has. That's 87 points. You don't think that's possible?
It is.
Top pop. That means everybody else is going to play shitty.
That's true.
It is. It's hard. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be the Ploop. It'll be the Ploop. You know what I mean?
If you believe in it. If you believe in it.
No, maybe you could get that average up to 4 points a game. You know? Or 5 points a game.
How many points is he at right now?
27, I think, in 9 games. But if you look at somebody like Tretiak, he's got 75 points in, 21 games?
Yeah.
He's averaging 3.5 points per game.
Right.
That's what he's averaging right now. So then you got
right.
a guy like Holmgren, who hasn't played as many as Tretiak, which is very interesting. And he's, he's averaging 4 points a game. If Holmgren can do it, the Ploop can do it.
Yeah, and I'm at 22, and I have 50 points. So if he can, he'll probably catch it. He'll probably catch us.
He might. Maybe I could change it and say maybe you just have to catch Eichel.
Yeah, well.
Huh?
Yeah, that's.
Right, I'm
not playing very well lately, so that's probably gonna happen.
Hold on here. I got some breaking news just coming across my desk. Wow, this is huge news.
Shit.
Coming across my desk. New ruling now for the Million Dollar Man just came across my desk. The Ploop does not have to make the top five anymore. The new rule says that by the end of the season, the Ploop has to have 4 points than Eichel 9. That's the new rule now. If he does so, if he can beat Eichel 9, I'm giving everybody $2,000 and they're gambling. $2,000! Maybe you're rubbing a tub.
Ain't gonna happen.
You know, here you go, Ploop. It's on now. It's on. So there's your breaking news. The Ploop.
Breaking news comes across your desk so quick.
Last but not least, let's talk about it. We got about 25 minutes left in the show. I'm gonna open up the phone lines, and you're actually a witness to this last night. I want to know. As commissioner, I want to get to the truth. I want to get to the truth. Where's Castry? Must have fell asleep. He's supposed to be off at 10.
He just logged on to Xbox Live, but he's not supposed to be playing until midnight. So I don't know. Castry, get on the fucking radio show, you ding dong.
Well, we'll be done here in a little bit. I want to talk about this. There's rumors that last night. That a rule was broken. And I want to get down to the bottom of it. I heard, now this was in the game against New Jersey, and this probably would initiate the chat box blow up. But I heard there was a leg out. The team that had the leg out were forced to take a penalty. Is that true?
Correct. Yeah.
So you give me a, you can speak to this, and the other team calling this. Tell me. What was the reasoning behind that? You explain it simple in the rule book.
From what we were told, and
Hold on a second. Before you continue on with this discussion, I'm actually going to bring the actual rule up, and if management are smart enough, the management involved was smart enough, it's not saying everybody, then we're not going down that road, but if you were smart enough, whoever in that game was management, and I don't know who was right off the top of my head or not, let's look at the rule. Now, if you scroll down to, I think it's pretty easy to find the rule book there. It's under rules and bylaws. If you scroll down to, I think it's gameplay rules, section four. Rules. Anyway, explain to me. What their reason behind is, while I look this up. What their reason was for it.
You want me to explain it? You want me to do it now, or are you still looking up stuff?
Well, here's the rule. Here's the rule based off what the rule book says. So, here it is. So this is 4.3 disconnection, section A through H. So section A says disconnections must be logged post-game stats with designated, which nobody's doing, by the way. If a skater disconnects during gameplay, teams will play out the remainder of the period and or game before exiting back to the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
If a goalie lags out during gameplay, the current team should be noted that before exiting back to the lobby by creating a new game, the game will commence within notes. You stop it automatically. If there's a penalty up when the period ends, the game must be played out until the penalty expires upon completion. Here it is. Section F. Upon restarting the game following a disconnect, the team who had the disconnect must take a minor penalty as quickly as possible. The team who will take the penalty must win the draw to the player of choice. The puck must be flipped out of play in your defensive zone in a quick, like fashion, avoid wasting time. Right there. So tell me the reason. What was their argument to say? First of all, who was saying that that's not a rule? Was it?
So basically how it rolled, that was, Voracek lagged out, and he was writing in the chat box that he was IP booted. Somebody on our team IP booted him. So then, after we were writing in the chat box that they should take the penalty, and Snoopy wrote in the chat lobby that whatever Caster says doesn't go because he's involved. He can't be involved in it because he's playing in the game and he's on our team. So they were saying that he doesn't have to take a penalty, which he ended up taking the penalty in the game. But they were saying that he doesn't have to take one because the ruling was... They were saying that we IP booted Voracek from the game, basically.
So, first of all, they're incompletely wrong because you need proof to prove that they're IP booted. And if you can provide that proof, then by all means, come and show us that proof. No proof has come across my desk. Second of all, a rule is still a rule whether it's told to you by a BOD or another player on the team. It doesn't matter if Caster politely reminds you of the rule. It doesn't make it not in effect just because he's a BOD and on that team. It's still a rule. It's there. Stop being dumb. Follow the rule. Got somebody on the line. Let's bring on. Maybe they're going to weigh in on this situation. Probably somebody going to call in and just talk about how awesome they are. That's what usually happens. Welcome to the rule line. You're on the air. Who we got?
I'm Nisk. What's up? I was in the chat box while the whole fight was going on, trying to be the voice of wisdom. No, you guys haven't heard from me all season. I decided to come back
haven't
and
heard
family.
No, your voice that we haven't heard. It's not as sexy as I thought it would be. I'm a little disappointed.
Oh, dude. Oh, I can make it sexy.
I was looking for more sexiness, but that's okay.
Yeah, dude, like, I just decided to call it a family emergency last week. Yeah, you did throw
okay,
me off,
so,
bro.
That's all right, man. That's all right. So let's go back. There's a bit of a issue going over in Dallas. You were asked to – did you step down as GM or were you asked to step down? How'd that all go about?
I had a death in the family last week, so he was my cousin, very close to me. So, like, I wasn't on for, like, almost the whole week. I took the whole weekend off of Xbox, decided to get back on Sunday. So, I mean, hey, I'm back ready to play, and I know some people weren't like too fond of my playing style. Like in the beginning of the season, I was outstanding, and then like I guess I just lacked, and then certain people didn't want to play with me. But hey, I mean, if it comes down to it, I'll take a trade for the team. I'm a team player. I take trades for teams. I'll do what they need me to do. Need me to fight, I'll fight. Goon references. But anyway.
First of all, I'd like to say my condolences to you and your family. It's not always easy to have a death in the family. The second thing I'd like to say is that's very man of you. You know, you mean probably your priorities were obviously with your family, not in helping running a virtual team on a virtual hockey league. So that's you took the most important part there. Whether you weren't around, too bad. You mean real life's more important. And third, I'm glad that you're willing to stick around the team and you really help these guys out. And if you get traded, you get traded, and you're not. But looks like you guys are on the up and up, this team. You know, they've you guys have pulled the socks up. There's some changes that have been made. I don't know if there's been some different chemistry that's going on there. But to me, in my opinion, Dallas has been the most impressive team for us on the blue line in the last week. So congratulations to you. So what did you call in about? You want to talk about the situation?
Yes. I was in the whole chat box yesterday trying to calm the whole situation down, being the voice of wisdom and such on. Like, I was like, simmer down. We don't need to fight. Winning team won. Leave it at that. Just let the BODs take care of everything they need to take care of. We're players. Let's just walk away from this in any smack. Don't do any of that garbage. Just walk away. Let everybody do their job. Let everybody do their roles. Let the management carry it out. Let everything happen. You just basically what you got to do is the roles are there. They're in black and white. Got to obey the rules, obviously. If you don't obey the rules, you're basically booted. It's just like real life. You don't obey the rules in real life, you get sent to jail. I mean, there's no way you can get rid of it.
Well, here's the thing, you make the point, is rules are rules, black and white. I don't really see... either Snoopy's really dumb or was just being a douche trying to be difficult. Why would you ever think that you would never have to take a penalty on a team that you legged out? Nobody can prove IP booting. Let's be honest. You can't prove it unless you come to my house and can come on my computer and prove that I've got an IP booter. It's very difficult to prove. You know,
me being like a very technical person going into that tech school. I'm a junior in high school right now. Me going to that tech school last year taught me a bunch of stuff about it. There are ways you can prove it, but it's very hard to do if you're amateur at IT work and
who wants
so
to
on
put
so
all
forth.
The time into prove it though? Who cares?
That's the thing. Exactly.
who really gives a shit?
I could understand if he came forward and said, hey, look at this. This is what happened. I was disconnected from the servers, and it shows the error message. That's all you got to do. It shows the error message. Then that would be somewhat. That would be an understandable thing. Now, Voracek, if you're listening, I'm not talking smack on any team. I am being a middleman here. I'm not taking anyone's side. I am basically 16 years old and. I try to be the voice of wisdom for everything because nobody's perfect once. All I got to say is whenever somebody's Jesus Christ themselves, then you can judge people. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing. And it was Voracek that was kind of complaining about it. If I was going to – who was in that game, actually?
Let me get on the player dashboard. That game yesterday was – for my team was Preds, Twisted, Psych – BXA, Voracek, and Snoopy.
So if you were going to IP ban somebody, you think you would have taken Voracek, or would you ban Twisted Dream?
That's the thing.
I think I would have probably...
If anything, I would have took...
Voracek, you're awesome.
Twisted
but...
is a... I would have took Twisted just due to how he wins the face-offs. Because, let's just face it, his face-offs are outstanding. He knows how to get it back. Whenever our defense and the centers have the one play where they send it back to a defense, they one time it. He wins it every time. Say we set them up here, we set up a play off of him. I mean we know if anybody's gonna get booted. If he gets offline, then you know somebody's booting people. I mean, it's not just a coincidence that I'm saying this and he wouldn't get booted. Now, if I'm saying this and he gets booted, then you may have some investigation needed.
Well, if I was to pick anybody to have an IP booter, it would be Eichel. You got it, don't you, Eichel?
That's an asshole. Why would you IP boot me?
I'm pretty sure it's not Eichel. I don't think he could. Figures. I don't think he can find his way to his own bedroom half the time. Or anything. My beep booter.
Funny story, Smith thought I IP booted him last year.
Me?
No, Smith, not you.
Smith. I thought you said Nith. I was like, what?
No, Smith X12. We don't mention his name. He's like, yeah. Voldemort. Don't say his name.
Yeah, like, if something happens, you know, something's going to be going on, and if somebody gets IP booted from, like I said, Twisted, whatever he's playing, and if he gets, like, spontaneously, if we're winning and he spontaneously leaves the party and the game, and then it says you have been disconnected from Xbox Live, then there's an issue that needs to be investigated. Now, the thing is, with the IP booters, they're not all perfect. None of them are perfect. There's a way you can search it back to the IP it came from. Because each IP booter it floods the router with packets, of course, and then you could just search where the packets came from back. It's a process. Some people can't cover their tracks.
I really don't think, why would anybody put the time in to come on an IP booter from a fake league? You know, like, get a life, bro. You're that desperate.
Yeah, I mean,
get a life. It's stupid.
It's just, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean,
It doesn't. Well, I'm going to hang up and let anybody else come in and get their last final thoughts in case
there's anybody else on the phone line. Well, this is pretty much it. We've got about 3 minutes left. We've got game time coming up. I didn't even get a chance to review tonight's matchups, but we'll just quickly have a look at that.
Dallas, Toronto, Dallas, Winnipeg. Whew.
I was going to get your brother in, but the guy just showed up.
So it looks like Eichel's trying to get his team together there. I want to thank my co-host for night, Eichel 9. As much as people shit all over you, buddy, you still show up and help me out here. Casper,
yeah, I gotta get the setup with her.
You can wait 3 minutes. This is like, hold on.
It's
after time.
Nine. All I gotta say, Eichel, is don't let anybody tell you you're not good because you're like leading right now. So.
Hey man, the only thing I do is I like it. Keep it going.
I'll take it.
Okay, why don't you two get a room, okay? And fuck all night.
All right, I'm gonna hang up now.
You know, right, I think we got a romance going on here between Nest 12 and Eichel. When it works out,
there's no romance. I mean, I probably would.
Probably left Thompson. XHL.
No, but
all
right.
Down a little later on tonight, have wine coolers and penis. It is Monday night. Have a good night, everybody. Wine coolers and penis.
Stop down. No, I'm not.
Well, by the way, this is going out to you, Miller.
He'll be there.
It's Tuesday night, tomorrow night. Get yourself some Rockaberry cooler. Sit down with a nice hard veiny cack. Have a good night.
You're doing a show tomorrow, is that what you just said?
Only in the nude.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night.
I'll be there in a minute.
Tension goes, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey